wanted to preach a message in this little series that we've been doing on Sunday nights, This Matters. And this one tonight is actually going to be a two-part one. We're going to finish next Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll finish next Sunday night. But here's what I'd like you to do. You're going to find help, believe it or not, in this message tonight. You're going to find help from the bulletin. So if you could grab the bulletin, you have to have one of those close by you, and it'll help you as we go through here. This is going to be a two-part message, but I want to address something that's in the bulletin tonight with this little series, a message tonight in this little series of This Matters. And we've been going through this. We talked about how our message matters, how important it is, and our membership being part of the church, and our music, our ministry, our area of service for the Lord, and then our money, our motive matters, our memorization of the scripture matters, and our mentoring or discipleship here in the church matters, our memorials or remembering the things that God has done for us, just every now and then calling those things to your remembrance, the special things that God has done for you, our memorials, and then our marriage. Boy, marriages are important, and we got to make sure we keep those right, and so our marriages matter. And then we talked about how our mood matters, our spirit or our attitude, and we want to keep that right. We want to be a church that has a good spirit. And as we even talked about this morning in Sunday school with receiving individuals that come, and we were talking about how Phoebe was supposed to be received by the church there at Rome as becometh saints, it said. So she's a Christian coming to visit some Christians, so act like Christians ought to act when you receive her. Let's have a good spirit. Let's have a good attitude in our church, especially as folks come in and they visit us. And then a good spirit with one another, right? And then as we talked about when missionaries and evangelists and preachers come by to see us, we want to treat them right, don't we? We want to receive them right. We want to have a good spirit as they're serving the Lord, and they're a servant of the Lord as well. And then last Sunday night, we preached about our mercy matters. We've been preaching on Sunday mornings about grace, and we know God is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy, but we want to be Christians that show mercy as well, just like God has shown mercy to us. And then over the course of the next two Sunday nights, again, Lord willing now, we'll finish up next Sunday night, but I want to preach about this, our mission matters. Our mission matters. I know a lot of maybe companies, perhaps, even some churches may put out what they would refer to as a mission statement or a purpose for why you're doing what you're doing. Our mission matters. We ought to have a purpose for why we have a church. We're not just meeting here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights just to say the doors are open and we're having a crowd of folks that are meeting. We have a purpose. The local church has a purpose, doesn't it? And so I wanted to preach the next two Sunday nights. Again, Lord willing now, we'll start tonight. But I wanted to preach about how our mission matters. Why is it that our church exists? What would be our mission for why we're doing what we're doing? What is our purpose? Because our mission matters. And the reason I asked you to grab the bulletin is because the purpose of why we have our church is actually mentioned inside the bulletin, and you can follow along by way of an outline right here in the bulletin. So you'll notice here in our bulletin in the inside page, and this has been on here before now. This is not the first time we've ever put this on the bulletin. But it says there under the welcome, it says, we would like to welcome you to our church today. We trust that the services will be a blessing to you. And then we put on there why Victory Baptist Church exists. And I wanted to take the time to talk about those five ways in which we feel that they're a purpose of our church or a mission of our church. And I wanted to take the time over the course of the next two messages here to talk about that. And so you can follow along by way of an outline right there. That's wonderful, isn't it? You don't even have to get your pen out. Well, unless you want to take extra notes. But number one tonight, right there, our church exists for this reason. And number one, I want us to see this. The mission of our church, number one, to exalt the one true and living God. The purpose of our church, the mission of our church, to exalt the one true and living God. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you're not already there, to Ephesians chapter number 3. And I want us to see the purpose of why we're meeting here. Now, I read Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20, yesterday at the conclusion of our prayer time with the men. And by the way, Ephesians 3, verse number 20 is an encouragement when it comes to our prayer and asking God for things. It says in Ephesians 3, verse number 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Look at verse number 21. "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." What an encouragement there in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 21, that the purpose of our church is that God would get the glory, that the one true and living God would be exalted and he would get the glory. And I love how that verse finishes out. It says, throughout all ages, that God would get the glory throughout all ages and forever, right? World without end. Forever, God would get the glory. You know, when we go to heaven, we're going to be exalting the one true and living God. And so we have an opportunity to do it now while we're on earth. We have an opportunity to allow everything we do to bring glory to the Lord. We want to do that in our church. And then think about how we're going to get to do that for all of eternity, just to exalt God and lift up the one true and living God. Now, he deserves our glory, doesn't he? He deserves our honor. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. And it pleases God when we gather together as a church family for the purpose of worshiping him. It pleases him when we do this. And he is deserving of it. And one of the things that we want to make sure is a part of every single service that we have here is that God is glorified, that God is magnified, that he is exalted, because he's here with us, isn't he? And he wants to receive glory. He wants to receive praise, and he is worthy of all of that. So let's make sure that every part of our service exalts and praises and magnifies and honors the Lord. Our singing ought to exalt the Lord. And that's whether we were singing a congregation or whether we were listening to somebody special that they're singing. We want it to exalt the Lord. By the way, that goes back to what we've been talking about under this little series of This Matters. Our music matters, doesn't it? And we want to make sure our music exalts the God who we are worshiping. And so we want to make sure he is exalted. He is glorified in every area of our service. And one of those areas is our singing. Another area in our service that God ought to be magnified and glorified and praised and honored and exalted is in our giving. He ought to be glorified and exalted in our giving. By the way, I didn't mention that. I failed to mention it. I know we normally, obviously, in months past, we would have taken up an offering. I've been trying to remember it in the services just so that we remember. If you do have an offering and you'd like to give tonight, the plate is back there and you can give that. I've been trying to mention that in the service so that you don't forget that, to give of your tithes and offerings to the Lord. But that's one of the other areas and ways in which we can exalt the Lord in our services, by our giving. We mentioned it this morning. We need to be faithful givers, right? We need to be cheerful givers. We also need to give because we realize that God is going to bless us if we give. God's going to bless our church if we give. So be faithful at our giving. Let's make sure we're regular at our giving and we exalt the Lord in our giving. But then what about our fellowship? And one of the things Brother John mentioned, one of the things that Brother Charlie mentioned in his testimony was the fact that we could get together as men of the church yesterday and have a time of fellowship. Hey, our fellowship ought to exalt the Lord. It ought to lift up the one true and living God when we have opportunity to fellowship with one another. Our conversations as Christians, our fellowship as Christians, won't be the same as the conversations out in the world, will they? Because we want our fellowship to exalt the Lord. And we want him to be magnified. We want him to be glorified. Him to get the praise and the honor and the glory. How about our testimony time? Listen, I think tonight our testimony time exalted the one true and living God. I believe he was pleased to hear the words that were on our lips tonight. I believe he was pleased to be able to hear folks give testimony of a way that the Lord has worked in their life, perhaps today, perhaps throughout the course of this week. And so we ought to exalt and magnify and honor and lift up the Lord by our testimony. Then how about our times of prayer? We have opportunity to pray in our church, don't we? It's a blessing to be able to pray on our own. It's a blessing to be able to pray as a family. I know we love our prayer time at home with our family, getting together and being able to pray as a family. But there is something special also about praying in the church, isn't there? We get to pray corporately here together and get to lift up our prayer requests to the Lord. And our prayer time ought to exalt the Lord. It ought to magnify Him. It ought to honor Him. It ought to lift Him up. Again, the purpose of every part of our service is to exalt the one true and living God. How about our preaching time? Our preaching time ought to exalt the Lord, shouldn't it? When we open our Bibles, what comes from the pulpit as far as the preaching is concerned ought to exalt the Lord. It ought to lift Him up. And it ought to bring Him honor. It ought to bring Him glory. During our teaching time, Sunday school teachers, when they're over there in the other part of our building, in our fellowship hall, and they're presenting their Sunday school class, hey, that class time's a special time, isn't it? It's a time when we can open the Bible and we can deliver the message that God has put on our heart to exalt and to magnify and glorify the one true and living God. But then let's not leave out a part of our service. Let's not leave out a very important part that ought to exalt the Lord, our invitation time. Our invitation time. A time when we have a chance to respond to the working of how the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts. That's a time that ought to exalt the Lord. We ought to be making decisions for the Lord when we bring a service to a close. And that invitation time, as the pianist is playing, as the message has been delivered, as God has spoken in your heart, it exalts and it honors and it magnifies and it lifts up the one true and living God when we do business with Him, when we do what He's asked us to do, when we respond according to how He has spoken to our heart. So let's make sure we're frequently taking time at the end of the service during that special invitation time to spend time talking to God about the way that He has dealt with our hearts. I hope that in every single service you make a decision for Christ. I would say that without a doubt we as Christians ought to be making a decision in every single service. There ought to be a way that God is speaking to our hearts some way in the service time. And let's make sure that as He speaks to our heart, we follow His prompting, we follow His leading, and He is magnified in our invitation time as well. So every area of our service ought to exalt the one true and living God, but also every ministry we have ought to exalt the one true and living God. Every ministry that we have here, I am so thankful that some of the ministries that we had shut down for a little while have been able to resume. We have not been able to resume every ministry. And we understand that, and it'll take some time. We haven't been able to resume everything. But I'm so thankful that we've been able to resume some of our ministries. Some of our very important ministries here. And we are so thankful that we have ministries in our church, and those ministries ought to exalt the one true and living God. We should lift Him up. We should magnify Him. We should glorify Him in our services, in our ministries. You say, why? Well, God was the one who instituted the church. And so since He instituted the church, we ought to certainly use the church that He has instituted for the purpose of exalting Him. And by the way, He didn't just institute it. The church is also His plan for God's people. He desires for us to assemble together, to be a part of the local church. Church, the local church, is dear to the heart of God, isn't it? Now, there are some individuals, and I know this. Now, I understand that right now we're facing a little bit different of a circumstance as far as individuals that may not be able to make it out to our service. But I know that there are some Christians that say that they can worship independently of the local church. Now, I understand individuals that feel that way, that they can worship independently of the local church. But when an individual makes a statement like that, they're really disregarding God's love for the church and the emphasis that He has put on the church. He's instituted it. And so because of that, it's a dear part of His heart. And so when you learn to love and commit yourself to the local church, you show your love and commitment to that which is precious to the heart of God. So number one, our mission as a church is we want to exalt the one true and living God. But can you look number two on the bulletin there? Number two, here's another purpose for our church. Another part of our mission. Why we're doing what we're doing. Number two, we want to evangelize the world with the gospel. Now, there's some important parts of that. We need to evangelize, but then we need to evangelize how many people? The world. The world. It's so important to remember that word in our purpose or our mission as a church. We want to evangelize the world, and then how are we going to evangelize the world? With a message we've got of our own? No. We evangelize the world with the gospel. Now, I'm going to have you turn to Matthew, and I know you already know where we're going with this. We're going with the Great Commission here. But Matthew chapter 28, and I want to look down at verse number 19 and 20. I know you probably have the verses committed to memory. You probably know them, but if you'd look them up there, Matthew 28 and verse 19 and 20, and I want us to notice some things about this. By the way, we could see the Great Commission in other places of the Bible. We could look in Mark, and we could see the Great Commission that's given to us. We could look in Luke and see the Great Commission. We could look in the Gospel of John and see it. And we could look in the book of Acts, which, by the way, in just a minute we will do. We'll look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8 as well in just a minute. But look at Matthew chapter 28, and look down, if you would, at verse number 18. We'll start there. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying..." Now, Jesus has risen from the grave, hasn't he? He's about ready to ascend into heaven and about ready to leave down here on earth. His disciples are going to be left, though, with the Great Commission. They're not only going to be left with the Great Commission, they're also going to be left with God's power to do the work that he's called them to do. And then here's another great word that we have to remember that God has left them with. Not just his power, he's left them his presence as well, hasn't he? So he says, hey, you're going to have the Holy Spirit's presence. You're going to have the Holy Spirit, who is God, right? You're going to have his power and his presence with you and on you while you do this work that I've called you to do. And so he says this, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." And he says, "And teach all nations." All right, that's where we get the thought of the world. The world. Teach all nations. So we're to evangelize the world with the gospel. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So we evangelize them. We see them saved. We give them the message of the gospel. And then we want to see them follow the Lord in baptism. And then it says we're to teach them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And look at his presence here. Ready? "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." He says there in verse number 20. Now let's look at Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, which again we could give as the commission that God has given to us. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Give you just a moment to find it there. And again, we could look at the Great Commission and the other Gospels, but we'll center on what the Bible says there in Matthew and then what the Bible says here in Acts. Now, Jesus, again, about to ascend and go up into the heavens. And he says here in verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power." We already used that word, didn't we? We're going to have power. Now, you've heard it said so often that I probably wouldn't even have to say it, but this is dynamite-type power, isn't it? Power to do God's work in a way that is a dynamite-type power. And he says, after that, "The Holy Ghost is come upon you." So his power and his presence. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." You're going to be witnesses for me of what you have experienced, of the gospel that has been given to you. And he says, "Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Again, let's go back to what we said as our mission. We want to evangelize the world with the gospel. We were a witness of it. Somebody shared it with us. And now it's our job to go out and to share it with somebody else. Now, a couple things that we want to draw from this is a command God gives us, doesn't it? Isn't it? A command that God gives us. So the local church is the avenue by which this is going to take place. We're going to evangelize the world through the local church. It's the responsibility of the local church and the individuals that are in the local church. So God gives this responsibility to the local church. How are we going to evangelize the world? Well, the local church is the avenue of how this is going to take place. And it's a command that I've given to you. It's a responsibility for the church and those who are in the church. Now, we're in Acts chapter number 1, and as we go through Acts chapter number 1, we start to see some stories about the early church, don't we? Now, the early church experiences great growth, don't they? As a matter of fact, if we would turn to chapter 2, we won't take the time to do that right now and look at any verses, but if we would turn to chapter 2, we know that in Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 folks are saved and added to the church. And they even start to meet daily with these believers, don't they? To try to encourage them. And so they are starting to experience great growth. But at first, as we're reading the first part of Acts here in the early church, at first they're fulfilling the Great Commission in Jerusalem. They were reaching their Jerusalem, but the gospel had not spread over the other three parts that are mentioned here in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Talks about giving the gospel to Jerusalem and then to Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. Now, why do we say we ought to evangelize the world? Because God gives us a command here in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, and the command is worded with the word "and" each time, isn't it? So we look back there and we see that he says, you're going to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, next word, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, we do not see the words before. We don't see the word then. Some would read it this way. They'd say, well, I'm to evangelize Jerusalem before I evangelize Judea. I'm to evangelize Jerusalem, then I'll get to Judea. Is that the way God words it? He doesn't word the command that way, does he? He doesn't say before you reach one area, before you move on, to another area, you need to reach the previous one. Or after you've reached that area, then you can move on to the next one. But instead, he uses the word "and," doesn't he? And that word "and" is so important, because we're to reach and evangelize the entire world. Well, we know, and you're in Acts here, so I think you could turn here. Look at Acts chapter number 8. We know that God brought persecution to the early church, didn't he? Most of that, of course, was through a man that we're very familiar with, Saul, and how he led this great persecution that took place, really even thinking he was doing that which was right. But notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, of course the death of Stephen there, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. Again, they're reaching their area. They're evangelizing their area, but the gospel had not spread to Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. But notice what it says. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, those were the next two areas they were to reach, right? They're Jerusalem, and then they're Judea, and then they're Samaria. And then notice verse number 4. It says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. God brought this great persecution to the church, and as a result of that persecution, the gospel began to spread, didn't it? Through the local church, we're to evangelize the world with the gospel, and through the local church, we reach our community, we reach our city, and then we reach the rest of the world as well. Now, there are two ways that we do that. I want to draw our attention to the two ways that we as a church would want to do this. We as a church would want to evangelize the entire world, and we want to do it through two different avenues, two different ways. Number one, through worldwide missions. Aren't you thankful that we support 90 missionaries and national pastors? Aren't we thankful for the privilege that God gives us to every week give of our missions money to the work of worldwide missions so that the gospel can be spread in places that we are not? Look at Acts chapter 13. We're right here in Acts. We're seeing this begin to develop here. And we're going to now notice some missionaries that are sent out. So now the church sends out some missionaries to do the work. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 13 in verse number 1. It says, now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Missionaries now that are going to be sent out to do missionary work outside of the local area of the church. Would you turn to Romans chapter 10 quickly? Next book of the Bible, Romans chapter 10. And let's look at probably what is going to be familiar verses here in Romans chapter number 10. It starts in verse number 13. Boy, Romans 10, 13 is a very familiar verse, isn't it? It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call? Now, we want people to call on the Lord, don't we? We want people to cry out for God's mercy, right? To be able to tell him that they're a sinner. They believe he died for them. And to ask him to be their Savior. And he promises he'll do that, right? But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now remember, the only thing that will ever take anyone to hell is not believing. So how are they going to call on somebody who they haven't believed in? And then it says, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So I can't call on somebody I haven't believed in. I can't believe in somebody I haven't heard of. So notice what he says. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Without a preacher. Now, we want to understand that this word preacher doesn't mean that it has to be somebody who necessarily has said, I felt a calling on my life to preach. We could even word that word preacher this way. How shall they, the very end of the word, verse, how shall they hear without a, we could say it this way, without a reacher, without somebody to reach them, without somebody to present the gospel to them, to give the good news to them. And look at what it says in verse number 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Man, they're sent to go out and do the work that God has called them to do. And then it says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, is it not true that God certainly does call certain individuals to be a preacher? God does call certain individuals maybe perhaps to be a missionary, to maybe just work in some kind of a medical field, a missionary field of some sort. Maybe it is with in a medical way. Maybe not even preaching, just sharing the gospel with folks that way. Every one of us can be a reacher. Every one of us can be somebody that presents the gospel to another. And so here's what it says. Hey, we're sending out missionaries. We're sending out preachers. We're sending out evangelists. We're sending out reachers to spread the gospel to others. So sending out is one of the ways that we spread the gospel. Now, we want to be a church that would do that very thing. Send out people to spread the gospel. Send out people into even worldwide missions to do the work that God has called them to do. And so, really, a true gospel outlook has to be worldwide, doesn't it? If we're going to have a true gospel outlook, it's going to have to be a worldwide one. Because the world needs to hear the gospel, don't they? Now, we said number one, how do we get the gospel to the world? Number one, through worldwide missions. But, and so we can send out folks, but we can also personally, right here in our area, reach out as well. So we send out to spread the gospel, but we also reach out to spread the gospel right here in the area that God has called us to be in. So we would call that this, we would say that's personal outreach, isn't it? We want to evangelize the world through worldwide missions, but we want to do it with a personal outreach as well, don't we? Aren't you glad for local church ministries that enable us to do that? Aren't you glad? Now, I know we're not in the schools right now, but aren't you thankful for a good news club where we can reach inside of a public school? Aren't we thankful? Don't we praise the Lord for a nursing home ministry? Again, I know we're not in there right now. Aren't we thankful for a bus ministry where we can take a bus to an area where individuals may not have a ride to church, but the gospel bus comes by and picks them up and gives them an opportunity to come into church. Ministries that we have here in our church, our personal outreach through the ministries of our church, through soul winning that we have, and then just through a personal testimony throughout the week, individually, as God's children, as God's people. And so are you. We want to reach the world and evangelize the world with the gospel. And so let's narrow this down to our heart tonight. Are you doing your part to evangelize? Can I draw your attention to just a few more verses and we'll be done? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says this: he that winneth souls is wise. We need our mission as a church is to seek the lost. We want to evangelize the world with the gospel. Now, I know I already mentioned this. This was our theme this year, and there were many other ideas that God had laid on my heart as far as opportunities that we were going to have to seek the lost this year, and this virus has kind of set some of those back. But here's what we always say about that, though. God knew, didn't he? And future opportunities, I'm sure, are going to be in our path to seek the lost. But we can still seek the lost now. We can still do our part to evangelize the lost. Again, another great blessing that some of our ministries have been able to resume. But are you doing the part that God desires for you to do when it comes to evangelism? I quoted Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. But I'm going to quote or read Proverbs 14, verse 25. Listen to this verse. It says, a true witness delivereth souls. A true witness delivereth souls. Are we asking God to give us those opportunities to deliver souls? I want to read one more verse, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and you can look it up there if you'd like. But 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 11, the Bible says this. I want you to really concentrate on these words. It says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Think about what Paul says there. This glorious gospel that has been committed to my trust. God has entrusted us with the gospel, hasn't he? We are the ones whom God has chosen to deliver his message. And we must be faithful to give it to others. We must do our part to give out the gospel. Now you say, all right, how can I do that? How am I able to do that? Well, first of all, we've got to know the gospel so that we can share it, don't we? Now, I asked you this, or I talked about this a little bit, and I encouraged you with this when we preached several weeks ago about memorizing the Bible. Have you memorized the Romans Road? Have you memorized it? Certainly not expecting an answer out loud now, but in your own heart, have you memorized the Romans Road? Are you prepared to share the message of the gospel if you have opportunity to do it? You got to know the gospel. And memorize Romans 3:23. Memorize Romans 5:8. Memorize Romans 6:23. Memorize Romans 10:13. Have them committed to memory because you never know when you might need to present the gospel and your Bible's not nearby. Your Bible's not close at hand, but you've got it in your mind. You've got it in your heart. You've got it committed to memory. So how do I share the gospel? How can I evangelize this lost world? Well, first of all, I've got to learn the gospel. I've got to know the gospel and how I can share the gospel. And then be prepared and ready to share your faith when God gives you opportunity. Be prepared, and again, that's part of knowing it, being ready to share it, but be prepared and ready to share the gospel when God gives you the opportunity. Now, this is another reason why I love testimony time. Because Miss Jeannie gave a testimony, and as she was giving it, I was thinking about the application in the message because I knew what I was going to preach to you. She used a relationship that she had in her life as an opportunity to present the gospel. You realize that we could use every relationship we have as an opportunity to present the gospel. Every relationship that we have as an opportunity to present the gospel. And here's a doctor who, I believe you said was your doctor, who's been your doctor for, you said, how many years? I forget. 20 years. And she thought, what an opportunity I'm going to have here to present the gospel, using the relationship that God has given to you to present the gospel. Be ready to present it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I know we're drawing it to a close here, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20 says this, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." You know, an ambassador is ready at all times, isn't he? We need to be ready at all times. Remember the verse we learned from 1 Peter? We committed this to memory as a church family. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Remember we learned it? "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Be ready always to give an answer. We've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready for opportunities God gives us and take every relationship we have as an opportunity to present the gospel and to evangelize. And the great truth is we're enabled by God's power. We already talked about that, didn't we? And His Holy Spirit's presence is with us to do His work. But there's one other way we can evangelize, not just personally doing it that way, but getting involved in ministries here as well. Ministry opportunities that God gives you as a church as a whole as well. Individual opportunities God gives us to be a personal witness. But then opportunities God gives us in ministries here as well. There's all kinds of ministries that are soul-winning ministries in our church, aren't there? All kinds of ministries that you can become involved in. You can say, "I want to have a part in that. Man, I want to have a part in evangelizing this lost world." So what's the mission of our church? What's the purpose? We went over the first two. Number one, to exalt the one true and living God. We want to exalt Him in all that we do, in all of our services, in all of our ministries. We want to lift Him up. We know that He instituted the church. It's important to Him. It's near His heart. And we want to be a church that exalts Him and brings Him glory and honor and praise. Then number two, evangelizing the world with the gospel. Not just a small part, but the world. With the good news that Jesus died and was buried and He rose again. And let's do it in two different ways with our worldwide missions. Hey, if you're not giving to missions, maybe God will encourage you with that in your heart tonight, to give to missions so that you can be a part in evangelizing in a worldwide opportunity that we have with worldwide missions, our faith-promised missions. Just trusting God to provide by faith what you promised Him that you'll give for missions. And then, in a personal way, not just in worldwide missions, but personal opportunities that God gives us to reach out personally and then also in the ministries of our church right here in our area. What a light we are in this area as we present the gospel. So let's evangelize the world with the gospel. I want you to bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we bring our service here.